Italy's prime minister is still in charge, but that could change at any moment.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is still in control in Italy. He won a big budget vote today in the parliament, but at the same time, he lost his majority support there. And now there are growing calls for the Italian leader to step aside to make way for another government to carry out economic reforms. Marketplace's David Gura is watching this story. He's keeping us up to date now, and he's live with the latest. David?
Good morning, Steve.
What does this vote really mean for Italy?
Well, Steve, as you said, this was a vote on the 2010 state budget, so not a vote on Berlusconi himself or on his ability to lead. There were 308 votes to approve that budget. There were no votes against it. And here's what's really important. 321 lawmakers didn't vote. So if you do the math, Berlusconi no longer has an absolute majority in the lower house of parliament. Now, that really calls into question his ability to push anything else through parliament at a time when, quite frankly, he really needs to be able to do that. And Berlusconi keeps saying that right now the coalition government can't afford to fall apart for the sake of Italy and for the sake of the eurozone. He says the focus has to be on implementing new austerity measures to get on top of their debt. Meanwhile, as you said, the chorus of calls for his resignation is just getting louder and louder, Steve, and his term isn't scheduled to expire until 2013.
Well, this sounds really familiar, David. How is the world reacting to this?
Well, borrowing rates, interest rates are up. They're at their highest since the creation of the eurozone more than a decade ago. And that's because of all this political uncertainty, Steve. Italy is the third largest economy in the eurozone. It's also the country with the second biggest debt in the eurozone, a public debt that's now at about $2.7 trillion. That puts it just behind Greece. So again, this is all about confidence, confidence in Berlusconi's ability to shepherd or maybe push Italy through this crisis, Steve, to implement what are some pretty tough new economic policies.
All right. Marketplace's David Gura. David, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are down right now here stateside. The Dow is off about 0.3%, 41 points at 12,027. NASDAQ and S&P 500 are each down about 0.4% each. European shares are higher, though, on the Italian news today. There were more jobs advertised in September than at any other time in the last 3 years, a sign the job market could be getting better here at home. Asian markets were mostly positive, but Japan's Nikkei lost more than a percent today. Japanese car maker Toyota said profit fell by more than 18% in its last quarter, blamed on natural disasters and supply chain issues in Japan and in Thailand. General Motors today rejected a plan for two Chinese companies to take over Swedish automaker Saab. GM is still a preferred shareholder in Saab. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The deal for two Chinese companies to take over Saab was a confusing one from the start for auto industry analyst Michael Dunn. One of the investors seemed a little green.
The lead on this, Pang Da, is actually a dealer group in China with no car manufacturing experience.
And Saab has been a money loser for some time, so why do these companies want to save it? Dunn says even though Saab's brand is dying, there are still important GM parts under their hoods.
When the Chinese come in and buy Saab, they're actually buying into access to GM's best technology. And that makes GM unhappy. Nope, we don't want that to happen.
In essence, says Dunn, this was a not-so-elaborate plan by the Chinese to gain access to GM's engine and chassis technology. That's something GM won't even share with its long-term partner in China, he says. GM says it'll stop supplying components and technology if the Chinese succeed with their bid for Saab. Dunn estimates that'll cut the price of Saab in half. In other words, no deal, putting Saab back on the road to bankruptcy. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Atlantic Monthly Press, publisher of Worm, The First Digital World War by Mark Bowden, about the Configure Computer Worm and the battle to protect the Internet. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Japanese camera maker Olympus now admits it covered up huge losses dating all the way back to the 1980s. Executives reportedly paid inflated fees to advisors as part of that scheme. That's a reverse from earlier denials the firm had done anything wrong. The BBC's Roland Burke is in Tokyo, where the company is based. He has the latest for us from there. Hi, Roland.
Hi.
Tell us what happened at Olympus.
Well, essentially what we're looking at here is possibly the largest corporate fraud, or one of them, in Japanese history. It all started back in mid-October when the British president and chief executive, Michael Woodford, who'd only been there 6 months, raised questions about a number of transactions. Olympus had paid $687 million in advisory fees to firms, one in the United States, one in the Cayman Islands. They'd bought three Japanese companies, small ones, for $1 billion nearly, and then written down the value several years later. For weeks now, Olympus has been saying nothing wrong, but now they've admitted that those payments were actually going to cover up huge losses they've been making in share dealing dating back to the 1990s, a massive incident of corporate misgovernance.
And some of these deals date back many, many years, Roland. I mean, how could this have gone on for so long?
I think that it raises the issue in Japan of corporate governance, of just how independent boards are, of just how willing people are who tend at the top of these companies to work for one firm for life to challenge other members of boards. Certainly for Olympus, they're paying a very heavy price. Today, their shares were down by 29%, the maximum allowed fall in a single day. And since all this began in mid-October, the company's lost 70% of its value. So its very survival is in doubt. And we are hearing reports here in Tokyo that the FBI is investigating as well.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Roland, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, that extra hour we all got at the end of daylight saving time, early Sunday morning. Turns out the Labor Department says people must get paid for it. So if you were working overnight on Sunday at 2 a.m. when the clocks went back an hour, you're going to get paid that extra hour. The only bad thing is if you're still at that job working those hours, say on March 11th, 2012, when daylight saving time comes back, you're going to get paid 7 hours instead of eight. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's the third largest economy in Europe, and the smart bet says if Italy goes, so goes everything.
Stocks in Italy are plummeting.
Italy has one of the world's most heavily indebted governments.
Italy today is slamming Standard & Poor's for downgrading the country's credit rating.
I'm Bob Moon. Marketplace reports from Rome. Next time on the broadcast from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.